Gary Morgan of Wyoming County, a member of the Warrior Riders Group in Kankanik.
This was an incident of my time in Vietnam. For me, the two most frightening times in service were basic training, that is boot camp, and coming back off patrol in Vietnam. Coming back to the perimeter at night and knowing without a doubt I was approaching Lance Corporal Flight, it was terrifying. Flight was always asleep at night. As soon as it was dark, that man was asleep. And the scary part was the idea that as I got closer to wherever he was sleeping, that he would come out of a sound sleep and not knowing where he was and hear a sound, me, he would start shooting. It's when I moved the quietest during the entire night patrol. Flight, it's me, Morgan, I would whisper. I would say the password. I'd curse him, call him names, cajole him, promise him anything and everything, if he would just wake up and not shoot. And the thing was, he never thought he was asleep. The weirdest part was I liked him. He was a good buddy, as long as it was daylight. Not so good if it was dark, and I was coming back off patrol. I guess in many ways I was a little envious of him, that he could sleep like that. In all my life, I've never been an easy sleeper. And I suppose my time in Vietnam didn't make it any easier.
Gary Morgan, a member of the Warrior Riders, a group that meets each month at the Dietrich Theater in Tunkhannock. Morgan co-facilitates the sessions with founding facilitator and poet Jenny Pakanowski. Morgan's essay sets the tone for themes that recur throughout the experience of combat veterans, no matter the war. Morgan and Jenny paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about Warrior Riders as part of our Art Scene series, coinciding with the broadcast on WVIA-TV with the new PBS series, The Vietnam War, by Ken Burns and Lynn Novick.
Warrior Riders is essentially a community of veterans and civilians, but mostly focused on doing writing workshops for veterans. Not necessarily for craft, but more expressive, more of telling our stories, and then, you know, it could be edited after that. But mostly it relies primarily on bringing that camaraderie and community back into our lives, because the biggest killer in our community, our veteran community, is isolation. And then that can lead to addiction and homelessness and then suicide. So I believe that writing and the creative arts really helps bring us together. And the writing, the beautiful writing and stories and experience are kind of a byproduct of the camaraderie and the community. And then sharing our stories, trying to bridge that gap between veterans and civilians, because essentially we come from different cultures. We come from the military culture and try to transition back into civilian culture, and the language is different. And to be in a space together, sometimes we do performances, and then the books can help bridge that gap and start conversations that wouldn't normally be had.
What was your service in the military?
So I was in the Army. I was a combat medic in Iraq. I did medical support for convoys in 2004. I proceeded to get out, and I was in the reserves for a little while. I worked at Walter Reed for a little bit. And the transition was very difficult, just especially as a veteran, but also as a female veteran. The services were limited at the time. I got out in like 2006 off active duty. But I found a lot of solace in the veteran community once I found it, which that was a journey in itself.
And so what was it that led you to Warrior Riders?
There was a veteran organization that was in Philadelphia that my service officer introduced me to. And the founder of Warrior Riders, Lavella Kalika, she invited me to go on like a retreat in Martha's Vineyard, like an artist writing retreat. And I was like, no, absolutely not. One, why would I leave my house? Two, it's very far, and I experience flashbacks when I'm driving. I kind of transport back to Iraq, and they think I'm in a convoy again. This was what used to happen to me. So I decided not to go, and then my mother found out, and so she showed up at my house, and she put me and my stuff in the car, and we drove to Martha's Vineyard, and she dropped me off, and then I had my first writing workshop. I met my first female combat veterans that, you know, that I hadn't known in the military, so... Yeah, it was quite a journey. And then in the process of that, it was a joint partnership where Combat Paper was there as well. So we took our uniforms and we shredded them and cut them up into little tiny pieces and made handmade paper out of them. the next step in that process is what I started to do was start to bind the paper into books. So at first I thought it was dumb. I was like, why would I want to cut up my uniform? And a lot of people don't want to cut up their uniforms because they think it's disrespectful to the service, to the blood, sweat, and tears of their uniform. But it's reconstructing it. You can create a memorial of it. I put I don't have the paper here with me because it's in an art museum of three of my friends that I was in Iraq with.
It's as intimate as the uniform was to you.
It's kind of another community event, right, with the veterans. We're all sitting around in a table similar to this and cutting up our uniforms. And naturally, just organically, we start talking about our service to each other. And, you know, when you've been out for like 3 or 4 years and you didn't even know a community like this exists, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I don't sleep either. Oh, I see bombs in the road also. Oh, yeah, I see insurgents on the bridges sometimes, you know, and having that realization of like, yeah, I'm going through this too. Even if you don't have the diagnosis of PTSD, you may just be struggling communicating your military skills with civilian resumes. It could be like baseline.
And you went from those experiences to coordinating this workshop in our area.
Yes, I am a facilitator for Warrior Writers, facilitator for One Fight Foundation. I have my own writing workshop called Writing for You. So I've really expanded it exponentially, but the one in Tunkhannock is Warrior Writers. And someone saw me speak at Dodge Poetry Festival, and they came up to me and they asked if, you know, there were facilitators available. There wasn't, but I was available and the closest person, so I drive about two and a half hours to facilitate the writing workshop. But I like it because it's something that they don't have in Tunkhannock. You know, a facilitator, a speaker, you know, trying to bridge the gap between the community, you know, Morgan, and we'll meet Rebecca and Larry later, just speaking their stories that just wouldn't be heard at a backyard barbecue that they can finally express first in the secure environment of a fellow veterans, and then open it up to the wider community.
It's reassuring, and well, it's nice to know you're not the only one. You have shared experiences. And Jenny's been a focal point for us. You know, we've all come there, and she makes sure that we write.
And not just talk.
But no, it's been very interesting for me, particularly as an older veteran. Vietnam has been over 50 years for me. And to find out that these guys are going through the same experiences, or same type of experiences. Like Jenny talks about the fact that, you know, she watches the road when she drives. For me and the guys I was with, it was we watched the tree lines. To this day, I don't walk out a door that I don't look around, watch what's in the tree lines. You know, you're looking for ambushes or IEDs and that type of thing. But it's close similarities, close, and very, you know, makes you a little more empathetic to everybody else. And for me, what's been an enlightening experience for me is female veterans. Really, I know that sounds foolish. I mean, I knew women were in the services, but, you know, Jenny's a combat veteran every bit as much as I was.
Tell us, if you would, Morgan, about how you got into the service, what branch, and how you made it to Vietnam.
Well, I volunteered. I was in the Marine Corps. And at that time, to get in the Marine Corps, you had to be a volunteer, although they did do a little bit of drafting for about a little less than a year, but they stopped that. Marine Corps doesn't like that. It's a very, you know, it's their spirit de corps thing, and the fact that they think they're special. Well, we do think we're special.
You are special.
We are special. But I volunteered to go to Vietnam, and I was there in 1965-66. I had 9 months of overseas duty, and I stepped on a landmine. I lost a leg there. Then came back and spent 9 months in the hospital. Oh, yeah, that was interesting. 9 months in the hospital is... You learn a lot of patience. You really do. After that, I went out and I traveled. I traveled all over the world. Different places, Australia, Africa, Middle East, Europe, that type of thing.
Did your view of the war change? Did you have any sense what you were going to get into?
Probably more than most. I come from a military family. All my male relatives, and even some of my female relatives, were in the service. My grandfather was in World War I and World War II. My father was in World War II. My brother was in the Marine Corps. He retired as a sergeant major. My uncle was in for 20 years. My cousins were all in the service, and we were all Marine Corps. So it was a family tradition in many ways. I had a reasonably good idea what I was going into. Although I must say, it's not something until you experience it. You know, it's one of those things you have to be there to fully understand the emotional impact of it.
You lose colleagues?
Oh, yes, of course, yeah, yeah. That, you find, how should I put it? It makes you a little more calloused in some ways, but also more accepting in other ways. You know, we talk about it, the Warrior Riders, we understand. We've all been there. You know, putting that in air quotes, we've all been there. Just the service itself, being in the service, it can be stressful. And to be in the service in combat zones can be very stressful. Yeah, it has changed me. My whole life was predicated on, you know, what happened to me in Vietnam. You know, the Marine Corps, Vietnam, losing a limb, that type of thing. I mean, you have to adjust to doing things. I went to college. I eventually got a master's degree, but I still was involved in doing things like working as a prison guard, which I did for many years here in Pennsylvania. So that mindset is there, and it's formulated by your experiences.
You said that there is a commonality in the experience of just being in a combat situation, for example. But what, Jenny, didn't you know about Vietnam, for example, that you've been able to understand better because you know Morgan?
I think I believed when I first met Morgan. I mean, I've had a lot of exposure to Vietnam veterans because they were my mentors before I became a facilitator. And as I continued through, they were mentoring me. I didn't really realize people volunteered to go to Vietnam until I met Morgan.
Well, there was a lot of draftees. I mean,
yeah.
Because of the fact that was the prevalent view that everyone was a draftee that was sent to Vietnam. It's just not
and true. I found it interesting that he didn't have really bad experiences coming home because he didn't stay home, which is what a lot of veterans in my generation do. You know, they'll go off the grid. They'll, you know, not necessarily leave the country, but just, you know, not really be amongst society, at least to take a break from it. And then just the conversations we have about me being a woman and him being a man. And, you know, the similarities of our service were still pretty interesting.
Had you written before Morgan?
No, not really. Very little. I think it might be sort of a male thing. We just will not express our emotions, particularly on paper.
Which I also think is a huge killer in our veteran community.
Oh, it really
because
is.
When you hold that stuff down, it just eats you alive. It's like poison.
Did you have to pull him out?
So I started Warrior Riders in Tunkhannock by doing a presentation, you know, reading my poetry, telling them what the program was like. And then the board members looked at me and they're like, well, who's going to teach it? And I go, oh, well, I'll teach it. I'll facilitate it. And then one of the members of the board, Hildy Morgan, I was like, would you like to do it with me also, like be a co-facilitator, just so the theater knew what was going on a little bit. And since she was married to Morgan, who I hadn't met yet, I kind of gave her like a family pass. I'd be like, okay, you're married to a veteran, so you can come in. And some groups are family members and veterans, but that we build to that. So she came into the first workshop and sat down and wrote a story about Morgan being startled at a Mexican restaurant where...
Startled is, yeah. Some friends and I went to a birthday party. One of them was having a birthday, so we went to this Mexican restaurant, which is a lovely restaurant. But they had this thing, in order to celebrate the birthday, they would come in with a paper bag, blow it up, and pop it. Well, that young man did that behind me, and needless to say, it scared the bejesus out of me. I just about jumped the table, grabbed my wife, and was taking her to the floor to get her out of danger. And then I realized that it was just this nice young man, but... I felt embarrassed about the whole thing, so I got up and went to the men's room for a while. And when I came back, the young man apologized to me profusely, and I apologized because I was a little irritated with him. But that's pretty much what it was.
And how long had you been out of the service?
Oh my God, that was what, five or 6 years ago that this incident occurred. Oh yeah, I've been out since, well, I got out in 68.
It's our neural pathways. At a very malleable age, they trained us to react, not respond. It's like a reflex. There are certain stimuli that are going to set most veterans off that were trained that way. You know, shoot at a target, not a human. You know, that dehumanization. And then also be aware of your surroundings, situational awareness, all that kind of stuff. So it doesn't surprise me that veterans still can be startled or react in a protective or militant way, yeah, because that's how we were trained and the training's good.
Had I been aware of the young man coming up, it wouldn't have bothered me.
I was surprised that you weren't against the wall. That's what always surprises me about that story.
Wild Bill Hickok got shot because he sat with his back to a door by a man by the name of Jack McCall. I have never sat with my back to a door, and it bothers me with this window behind me, too, by the way.
Yeah, my dad told me that when I was a little girl, because he was a Marine.
It just happened to be when I came in late to the birthday party, sat at the table, that was the only seat available. I couldn't see the back of the room. Normally, I sit with my back to a wall.
But your impulse was also to protect Hildy.
Oh, yes. She likes that part.
So she wrote that story.
Yes, in our workshop. And then when the workshop was over, she said, I don't really belong here. Which kind of hurt my feelings because I was like, but you write beautifully and you know, you're empathetic. You're not treating us with sympathy. You're present in the room. You know, all these things are attributes that I look for in people that want to be involved with veterans. She goes, I'm going to get my husband to come down here because he's the veteran. So he was very resistant as I hear this story. So I went to dinner at their house and I met Morgan and, you know, he agreed to try co-facilitating with me and writing. And it brings the camaraderie. It's become a cliche statement and like, you know, a billboard statement like you are not alone. But when you genuinely feel that way, that you're not alone in these experiences or this transition, it changes everything. But you also have to get out of your own way and start getting involved. Because even if you know you're not alone, but you're still sitting in your house alone, the veteran community, the veteran issues are layered and complicated. And it's not one size fits all. Writing may not be for everybody. But in traditions past, rituals, Native Americans, Spartans, Romans, they all had rituals coming home, cleansing, purging, storytelling. Storytelling was the main element in all of them because they would come home, they would share with the community, be like, this is where you sent me, essentially. This is what I did, you know, welcome me home. And also, you know, if I'm eating, you're eating. If I have a place to live, you have a place to live. Those smaller communities, tribes, those things. So I actually believe writing and storytelling is for everyone.
It really is. I mean, believe it or not, in this country, people don't like to admit it, but we are a warrior society. We have a warrior culture. And what we do with the warrior writers helps alleviate or ease you back into the mainstream civilian culture.
And I call it adding color to the black and white. Like the military's black and white. Everything is yes or no, an order. It's very clear cut. When you're a civilian, it's color, it's all this stuff, all these choices, and it's overwhelming and can be debilitating.
Jenny's mentioned, too, the suicides, and this is a very important issue to us. And anything we can do, whether it's riding, working with horses, working with dogs, whatever, anything that will help alleviate that stress.
Well, tell us then, Morgan, you come into this group reluctantly.
Yes.
What drew you to the point where you're here now with something to share with us?
Well, another word that Jenny just mentioned, too, is camaraderie. I think that more than anything. You tend to isolate yourself from the people around you. It doesn't mean you don't love your wife. It doesn't mean you don't love your children. But unless you have a shared experience, an emotional shared experience, you tend to keep that inside you. We've been able to do that. We've been able to joke and laugh amongst ourselves and, you know, make fun of each other, make fun of ourselves. And it helps. It really does. Because you can go, oh, I'm not the only one.
And veteran humor has a certain
crudeness,
macabre to it. Crude. Yeah. All of those things. So to be able to be in a moment and not worry about judgments, to be able to show kindness and compassion to each other's struggle, these are all components of how I facilitate the workshop.
Now, will you share something with us? These are poems that you...
Oh, one's a poem. Okay. And I only found out it was a poem when Jenny told me. I'd never written a poem before. This is a war poem that I wrote. Sort of a war poem. I fought for myself, my buddies, the Marine Corps, my country. I bonded with men I could and did trust with my life. Not my money or my beer or my woman, but with my life. Not good men or bad, some I didn't like, some didn't like me. Fought with, argued with, but would lay down my life for, and they for me. But thank you for my service. That's my poem.
The way you end it, isn't that something, Jenny? I saw you react when it got to the end, right?
It's a frequent conversation that we have in the veteran community, whether we like to be thanked for our service or not. It's kind of like we're dealing with a whole another layer of the Vietnam veterans were not welcomed home, but now it's almost empty to be told welcome home or
it's
to be
of, it's
told.
It's kind of a mantra, isn't it, really?
Not even a mantra. Mantras are significant. I would say it's like saying good morning, or even to that layer, some people are not comfortable with the things that they did over there or their service, or it was tragic. We haven't even touched on military sexual trauma. Uh-huh. Being thanked for your service is not always an appropriate response to a veteran.
It probably sounds like we're ungrateful, but we're not.
No, not at all.
Do you have something that you would share with us?
I remember signing my name, giving them my warm body to transform into a cold uniform. I remember the uniform being thin, light, and tan, giving the illusion it would not become a representation of the burden I now carry. I remember standing at the end of a long hallway coated with sand inside the hospital, a single lamp giving light to a small, dirty room next to the clean wards full of the injured. I remember in the shadows I could hear the doctors whispering, what to do? My friend Chris stood at the bedside giving his comfort by holding the Marine's hand. I remember the bandages wrapped around the Marine's head. I stood there unable to move and only stare, my rifle strapped around my back seeming to tighten and strangle me. No one saw me. Even now I hear their whispers. Who jumps on a grenade? The squad was checking houses and it just rolled in. The Iraqi women and children screamed. I wonder if they knew anything. He saved 6 members of his platoon and the Iraqis, the doctor said. All we can do now is try and keep him alive until he gets to Germany so he could say goodbye to his mother. My friend Chris touched my arm and I shied away from his touch. He said, I tried to explain to him that he's going home and to hold on. And I think he blinked. And I blinked away my tears. I remember loading him into the helicopter. I remember watching the helicopter fly away, thinking, this shouldn't have happened. Giving one life to save many, destroying many lives for war, for what? It is said the people of the USA are safely sleeping in their beds because of the boys and girls fighting and protecting us, deployed in the Middle East and throughout the world. He slowly died because he loved the people serving next to him. Not you, not me, not war, but the Marines standing next to him. Would you jump on a grenade?
That's a big whoa.
My poetry packs a punch. When I was deployed, I was stationed with the Marines, even though I was an Army medic, so that's why the references of the Marine Corps comes in. I always have to clarify that. I was working at a Navy hospital as well, connected to them. And working with the Marine Corps, which was nice because my father was a Marine, is a Marine.
Yeah, there are no ex-Marines. There's only former Marines.
You were talking, Morgan, about the cyclic nature and that we need some space after a war. Then we begin maybe to process it in that way. It makes sense now, 50 years, for Ken Burns to come and do this documentary.
Almost definitely. I think it's a marvelous idea. And after 50 years, it's time. Vietnam is a bar, a high bar, a high water mark. Hopefully we'll never go that high again. I mean, you had a whole segment of the society that tore itself apart. It's like people talk about, well, people went to Canada, or people went to Sweden or something. I have no animosity to those people. They ripped their lives out. For them to give up their families and their lives here and go to a different country, whether it's Canada, which is a perfectly nice place, but they gave up their entire lives. So, I mean, that's just as harsh. It really is. Mm. No, it's time we acknowledge all this and not put it to bed. And there's a word that I really dislike, which is closure. There is no closure. You adapt, you understand. And like we say in the Marine Corps, you adapt, improvise, and overcome. So we will overcome this. And it's needful.
Gary Morgan, co-facilitator of the Warrior Writers Group in Wyoming County, and Jenny Pakanowski, poet and founding facilitator of the group, speaking with us about Warrior Writers and reading from their work. Warrior Riders workshops are held each month at the Dietrich Theater in Tunkhannock, and they are open to all veterans and service members at no charge. The next sessions will be held Friday, October 13th at 7 p.m., Friday, November 10th, and Friday, December 8th, also at 7. For more information on the web, DietrichTheater.com, DietrichTheater.com, D-I-E-T-R-I-C-H, Theater, T-H-E-A-T-E-R. And it's Warrior Writers, a group held each month at the Dietrich Theater, Dietrich Theater in Tunkhannock, Friday, October 13th, Friday, November 10th, and Friday, December 8th at 7 each evening. For more information on the web, DietrichTheater.com. We spoke with Jenny and Morgan as part of our Art Scene series, coinciding with the premiere of the new PBS documentary, The Vietnam War, by Ken Burns and Lynn Novick, continuing on WVIA-TV this Sunday, September 24th, and running through Thursday, the 28th, at 8 o'clock each night. For more information, on the web, wvia.org, wvia.org.